Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Joined by a very special guest today, Bryce Huff, New York Jets defensive end. Bryce, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm good. I was excited to be out of camp and on Saturday. You hit a couple of nice spin moves, went viral on Twitter and stuff like that. How's the first couple of days of camp been?
Oh, it's been great. Been learning a lot, getting acclimated to the defense and just moving. Getting ready for the season.
Has there been a big adjustment period, you know, thus far, obviously going from a defensive coach like Greg Williams to a guy like Robert Saleh, Jeff Ulbrich? Like how's that transition been from, you know, 20, you know, your rookie year until now?
It's pretty much been a seamless transition. You know, all of our new coaches, they came in here knowing what they want from us, and they're looking forward to, they're always looking forward to like helping us get better every day. So it's been a really good transition, just working with them and just growing as a player.
Wanted to kind of take you back and then we'll get back into the season. But obviously, you know, coming in as an undrafted free agent and, you know, as much as people say, like, you know, I don't want to make it too much of an underdog story because there is a lot of guys that, you know, later round picks, undrafted free agents that not only make the league, but end up being Hall of Fame, you know, level players. So it's becoming more and more of a known thing. But what was that, you know, process kind of like, you know, draft day, waiting, hopefully hearing your name called and then you don't hear your name called? Is it just disappointment or you're like, I'm going to go prove the rest of these teams wrong that I should have been drafted?
Yeah, I mean, on draft day, it was just kind of like waiting, watching the draft, like cheering on my guys that did get drafted and stuff like that. And then like middle of the fourth quarter, they called me and they were like, we're going to try to pick you up, you know, in undrafted free agency if you don't get signed. Because they ended up trading away all their picks. And then at that point, I was like, man, whatever happens, happens. And then I ended up not getting picked. So after that, it was just in my mind, just get to work. I mean, that was going to be my mindset regardless. But yeah, after the draft, it was really just go and just grind and control what I can control.
I was going to say, in some ways, like, and as much as crazy as this sounds, it's almost better to be an undrafted free agent than get picked in like the seventh round where, yeah, you kind of have the option of like, oh, I can see where I want to be. I can see who really wants me. And then the Jets, obviously, were able to give a lot of good amount of guaranteed money at the time for an undrafted free agent. Like I know they diffed to Isaiah, I believe, this year as well. So it's something that, no, it's super interesting. And you obviously were able to have a big impact last year and show some flashes. What was like that welcome to the NFL moment for you? Was it something in training camp or was it like, you know, during a game where you're like, wow, I'm in the league and like, this is real?
My welcome to the league moment, I didn't have any crazy moments like that. I remember just like making a play against the Broncos, like a TFL. And then I saw it on Snapchat, like on the NFL page, like, wow, it's crazy. That's probably like the craziest thing that happened. But other than that, I didn't really have any like shocking moments that just like woke me up to the NFL. Like I got here and I was just expecting the craziest, you know, speed of the game and just like the most intense, you know, things ever. But I felt like it was a pretty good transition to the league.
You, You didn't have the clip of Trent Williams taking a linebacker's head off on Arizona. You're lucky you didn't have that happen.
Yeah.
But no, and then, you know, I was kind of curious, obviously, you know, you guys came in as a, you know, a rookie class, a pretty large rookie, like, you know, size class. And that's not just Mekhi being a large human being, but do you guys have like a different bond? Is it something like, whereas like a recruiting class, or is it not so much that atmosphere where like everyone's just kind of trying to fight to, you know, to make their name in the league, or is it like this bond of like, we all came in together?
I mean, we're all cool with each other, but like, as a whole team, we just come to work every day. So it's not like, oh, the rookies sit together or these guys sit together. Like, I feel like all of us just come in with a common goal in mind. We've all just been grinding and trying to get better every day.
Has the transition been now? Obviously, you know, things are starting to, you know, we're starting to work our way back towards, you know, a normal sense of life. And, you know, rookie year, COVID, no fans, you know, strict protocols and things like that. Have you felt the difference already between mini camp OTAs and beginning a training camp versus, you know, 12 months ago, you know, where you're at with everything?
As far as like COVID goes, or?
Yeah, just COVID and like, just like feeling like I'm going to go to work and I don't have to worry about as much outside noise, you know, from a lot of different, you know, senses in the word.
Yeah. I mean, as far as like the COVID regulations, you know, everything's relaxed with the new vaccine rules. And so, you know, I myself have gotten the vaccine, so I have like all the, like, it's just like normal life for me at this point. So, I mean, it's been pretty good getting back to normal, not having to wear a mask everywhere. And just, yeah, it's been pretty cool. But compared to last camp, I mean, that's probably the biggest thing. We had like 5 meetings a week about COVID protocols and like how to, you know, stay within outside of 6 feet of each other, like wearing Kinect sound devices and stuff like that. I mean, we still have to wear them, but everything isn't as tense as it was when we first started.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can only imagine it's been a big difference and things like that. And, you know, obviously we're you know, hoping to get, you know, 100% capacity and like it looks like in the stadiums. How excited are you for that? I know you mentioned this, we kind of talked about this off air, but that preseason game and that week one of like hearing that roar of a crowd that you've just not been able to have yet in your NFL career.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I'm not like, we had a couple games where there was like fans in the stadium, like Kansas City and I think what the Colts and Miami, those are cool. But like to go into MetLife and see the Jets fans, and like these guys are on our side, like that's going to be crazy. And just hearing them scream when we make plays and stuff like that, it's going to be a really cool experience. Because last year, I know, like, if I made a play, it would just be like I was at practice or something. Like, I would just get up and walk back to the huddle. So this year, hopefully, we can have some fans that are hyping us up.
Yeah, you start hitting the sack dance and flexing, and literally nobody hears you. Like, it's crazy. Watching even, like, the Olympics right now, like, the dude who just won the 100-meter, like, he ran 9.8 and like it's just white noise, and I was like, that's crazy to me. I don't know,
it's weird.
It's got to be a weird feeling. But obviously, you know, you're going into, you know, going into year two, it's January, you know, new coaching staff comes in, you hear Jets are interviewing Robert Saleh, they've, you know, made the hire. What's the reaction like? You know, obviously you went from an offensive head coach to a defensive head coach now. Is that something you're like, wow, you got really excited, or it's just like, I saw what he did with San Francisco, I can't wait to, you know, get after the quarterback?
I mean, yeah, definitely what he did with San Francisco, just like seeing how those guys were just playing like lights out, like on defense, just absolutely just killing people. So that was like, I was hype about that. And then like having a defensive minded head coach, that was pretty cool. Cause I know like my high school head coach was defensive minded, and just like how practices were running and stuff like that. It's a little bit different. And just like having that defensive minded head coach is just cool. So yeah.
Is it a little crazy that your head coach talks? Everyone asks him how much he benches, and he looks like he could still give you 5 or 10 snaps. Is it like a little different? Like, I don't know, if I walk by this guy, he might try to hit me.
Yeah.
I asked Eric Coleman, who was a former Jet on the podcast, if he thought he could bench more than Robert Saleh. He's like, I don't know, he might have me now. I don't know, he might throw 225 around. But who was like maybe the one or two guys last year you played, offensive line wise, or maybe a skill guy that, you know, you kind of got out in the flat and tried to tackle, that you were like, this dude is just an elite level player? Is there somebody that stood out to you, or is kind of everybody was just like, I want to try to take people's head off no matter who it is?
Like for me personally, like I mean, I always go into the same mindset every game, just having like as much like being as focused as possible. But I would say, if anything, the O-line from the Broncos, I feel like they were, like, it was a weird matchup for me personally. I'm not sure why. I'm definitely have to dive into that film. But besides that, I go into every game with the same mindset. And even that game, I had some good plays, but I just know, like, technique-wise, I feel like they were doing some good things that game.
What's going to be – kind of led me right into my next question. What's going to be the biggest difference for you guys? The Jets have been a 3-4 team for probably since, you know, the late 2000s. Going to that 4-3 now, which I think kind of suits you guys better personally from, like, all my knowledge. I felt like everyone kind of gets more in a natural position now. What's that transition going to be like? Is it going to be difficult to kind of move in, or it's just like a natural, like, I'm going to put my hand on the ground and keep grinding and doing what I'm doing?
I feel like it's definitely been a natural transition. You know, all of our guys have played with their hand there before. Like, everything's within our skill set, and, like, we're all capable of doing our jobs to, like, the best of our ability. So, I mean, it's been a really seamless transition, especially for D-line.
Yeah, no, you guys have a super talented group, and, there's a lot of people that obviously stand out. I've written about Carl Lawson a bunch of times, and I think it's just – he's kind of the guinea pig right now for the analytics community to match up sacks and pressures and stuff like that. Yeah. What's the impact of a guy, playing, like with Carl right now to kind of help that whole defense as a whole, of somebody that's just a relentless – I mean, watching him in person, I haven't been able to until – the other day. Most of you guys haven't been able to watch in person, obviously, but he just, like, it looks like his quickness and then his ability to just, like, read the play so quickly really stood out to me. Is that something that stood out to you playing alongside him now for the last couple of months?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said before, Carl, like, every time we line up in practice, whether it's indie drill or we're in team, he's always full speed. You know, that intensity never goes away. So he's always just practicing his game speed, practicing his steps, practicing his get off, his stands, everything. He takes pride in everything he does. So, I mean, personally for me, like, being a younger guy and, like, being able to watch somebody that's been in the league, he's on his second contract, he knows what it takes. I couldn't ask for more than that. You know, just having somebody like him in the D-line room is just, it's been great. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I mean, even a guy like Sheldon Rankins to me, who's somebody that, like, might not always burst out of the stat sheet or, fully fought Dukasi as well. Somebody that just, like, can eat two or three blocks, and it's like, all right, I'll take my one-on-one matchup here. Like, yeah. I was kind of curious, obviously, we talked a little bit about you transitioning to the NFL and things like that. How have you been able to transition? We talked about the spin moves and jokes about that, but, how do you go about implementing a move for people that maybe, haven't played or don't really understand D-line from that perspective? Like, how much effort and time do you put into kind of developing a new pass rush, whether it's a swim move, you're dipping, whatever you're going to do? Like, how much time is going to put into that, and how much practice do you feel like you really got it down?
I feel like certain moves, like, that are extremely technical, it takes some real, like, work. Like, for me, most of my moves came to me naturally, like, as far as the speed dip, like, bull, things like that. But the one move that took me a while to get good at was the cross shot. And, like, because, like, it's weird, like, weird movements. Like, you have to Euro step. You have to catch an O-lineman's hands from over top. That probably took me, like, 3 or 4 months of consistent work to get that down. And even still, it can be better. Like, everything I do can be better, of course, but yeah, I'm always working at it, whether I'm just, like, walking my dog or after practice, during practice, I'm always, just, like, walking through the motions, like, walking through the weight room, like, I'll cross chop on a weight rack or something, just walking through it and getting that muscle memory down. So, yeah, I put in a lot of time for it.
I would judge you very heavily if you didn't just give me that answer, because my brother plays D-line in college right now, and literally you walk by him and it's just everything is like, I'm like, yeah. Dude, what are you, I'm like, you just punched me in the back. What was that for? He's like, I got to get it in. No, obviously, what have your impressions been like? You guys have a super young roster. You have got some veterans, obviously, CJ, Marcus May, Morgan Moses, who just came over, who Makai makes him look small, but he's a gigantic human being. I got to see him up close yet the other day. But what's the impressions been like of guys like Elijah Moore and Zach Wilson, so far? Elijah Vera Tucker as well, who you obviously get to go against more so. What's their, what's it been like watching them in person and be able to actually compete with them on a daily basis, from college to the pros?
Yeah, I mean, they come to work every day, just like the rest of us. Like, they all take pride in their work, and they've all been out there grinding. So, I mean, it's been good to see. Like, they they aren't coming, they aren't showing up and just like going through the motions. Like every person that you just named has been like doing what they're supposed to do, just, like taking part in their work, and yeah, they feel right in, just doing like going to work every day.
Did you guys give Elijah some shit the other day that he went out and just started chomping with the fans and getting a Jets chant, or everyone's kind of just up with it?
No, I saw the video. I thought it was pretty cool. I
mean, it was cool. I don't know. I just, you know, when you're a rookie or you're a freshman and stuff, like, you just, no matter what you do, you're going to get gassed. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody was tripping about it. He was just out there having
the fans. We like to see it. Got the fans fired up. Obviously, yeah. You have pads coming on. This will be dropping Tuesday, but pads coming on tomorrow. What's the excitement level? Because I feel like as a D lineman, like, right now, the line can kind of just grab you and there's just no consequences at all.
Yeah. I mean, I know what's going through everybody's head, like the whole D-line, oh, we coming to bull rush tomorrow. Like, there's, you know, this is like OTA, and then like the first part of camp, there's no pads. So when it comes to your rush, like there's no threat of a bull rush. So all the O-linemen do, like if you take a bull step at them, they're not gonna stop their feet. So like it having a bull rush and being able to work that bull rush really opens up your arsenal, because there's always that threat of a bull rush, because I can at any time I can convert my speed rush to a bull, or like I can convert that fake inside step to a bull and stab and go, like, you know. So it's really going to open up everything as far as physicality in the pass rushing game, and in the run game, of course, just being able to lean into somebody is going to really, like, it's going to make a difference when it comes to being physical and defense.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a couple runs the other day that people are like, oh, he broke a run there. I was like, dude, he would have gotten clothesline 4 yards in the backfield. But if they even had uppers on. But, you know, obviously there was one of the things I wanted to ask you about, you know, in terms of that too, is there's, you know, a couple of people, Carl Lawson beats Mekhi Becton. Like, is Mekhi struggling? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, Bryce Huff beats Morgan Moses. Is Morgan, like, how's that, you know, how important is that kind of that iron sharpening iron? I know Mekhi said that, you know, in the presser the other day, but how important is that for you guys of just like, yeah, I want to win every battle, but like, I know going against two guys who are, you're very, very good left tackle and right tackles in the NFL. Yeah. How important is that to you on your development?
It's extremely important. Like, especially like Morgan Moses being a new tackle, like, is, you know, like going against George, is like, we've been going against George the past year, you know? So there's certain things that he does that Morgan might do differently. And like every tackle is different. So like just having an extra look, and then like even with George, like every time I'll go against George, like if I did something that would throw him off, he would be like, oh, you can do this different. You can do this better. And then same thing with Morgan Moses. Like if I was working a speed dip, and he was like, oh, you telegraphed that dip. It's just so having those older guys in the offensive tackle position really helps a lot. And then like with Carl being older than Mekhi, like he's doing things that most DNs can't do. Like Carl is good at what he does. So it's, I feel like that's helping Mekhi get better at the same time. So yeah, like you said, iron sharpens iron, and every day O-line and D-line go to work, and we help each other get better every day. So yeah, I feel like the better they get, the better we get, and it's just vice versa.
Yeah, no, I mean the goal, and I know this is like, I mean, maybe it's just me playing college, but like you almost wanted your practices to be harder than games. And like, I know people say that all the time. Like, that's the Bama guys say that all the time. It's like, I'm sure Quinn has probably talked about this, but like their practices probably were harder than 99% of the games, other than maybe they play two or three games a year. It's like you're going against dudes who you are making you better every single day. And that's kind of, that's what matters most. A guy obviously that you have not gotten a chance to play with in a game yet, but who has been an all pro in this league, CJ Mosley, looks fantastic just from a weight perspective. He looks just like he did, you know, 2 years ago in the infamous Buffalo three-quarter game. How important is having, you know, your middle linebacker out there, a leader, a veteran presence that everyone's like, this dude when he's right is a dog?
Yeah, I mean, just having somebody that knows, like, that takes, like, detail, like, that takes pride in their work, you know, and they know what they're doing at all times. They're always focused, whether it's meetings on the field, recovery work, like, he's about his business. So just knowing that he's doing what he's supposed to do, like it helps me in my mind. Like, all right, I got people on my team that like come to work every day just as hard as me. Like, they're gonna put on for me the same way I put on for them, you know. So that's really cool.
We'll do some fun questions real quick. But obviously, expectations kind of all over the board, and I feel like some people, oh, if as long as Zach Wilson's good, you know, that's all that matters this year. Oh, they want to the Jets win five games, it's better than they winning two from last year. Like, this is not my takes. I'm just, these are just, this is what, you know, is out there. Mm-hmm. What's your expectations, both, you know, as on a personal level, and then from a team wise, do you guys talk expectations? Oh, we need to win this many games. Playoffs is the expectation. What's like, what's the vibe in the room? Because the culture seems like it's changing. The energy is like, it just is different from, you know, the outside looking in. What's the vibe in the building, you know, for you guys?
I mean, you know, nobody wants to lose, you know what I'm saying? So like, when it comes to showing the practice every day, like, we practice to win, you know, like, we're practicing to have the best possible season. You know, and we're going to tell, like, from my perspective, what I've always been taught from high school to college, like, we take it, go 1-0 every week, like, week by week, focus on the present, and the future will take care of itself. That's how I think about it personally. So every day, just go in and get better, control what you can control, and then, like, whatever happens down the road happens as a result of how we prepare and how we attack every moment. So, yeah.
And in terms of, like, do you guys listen to a lot of the outside noise and stuff like that when there's negativity around the team? Or is it like, we want to shut these people up? Or, like, is it just like, ignore them? Like, they're not in the building. They don't know how hard we're working.
I mean, I personally don't pay attention to it at all. So I couldn't tell you. But yeah, so I guess if there wasn't any negativity, I wouldn't be affected by it. You know, I don't really get into that, you know, that scene or whatever.
Yeah, not checking the trolls on Twitter.
No,
but we're getting some fun stuff here. First question, college related. Why is Memphis randomly kind of feel like running back you at times? Like, you guys have had some, like, dogs come out of Memphis at running back that's just, like, it kind of randomly happens. Like, is it just the way people recruit, or, like, is it just, like, you guys develop running backs really well?
It might be, like, we develop guys, and guys are just dogs from the jump. I guess they get overlooked by Power 5 schools, and just, you know, because, like, we've had Daryl Henderson, Patrick Taylor, Antonio Gibson, you know.
D'Angelo Williams back there, right?
You said what now?
Did D'Angelo Williams go to Memphis too or no?
Yeah, he did too.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about it. I was looking at it the other day. I was like, there's actually been quite a few, like, legit NFL dudes that are at running back specifically. But who's best trash talker offensively and best trash talker defensively on the team right now?
Oh, I couldn't tell you, honestly.
Who's the one that just does not shut up the entire practice? Like, he's just, like, yapping all the time.
I couldn't tell you that one either, honestly. I honestly don't know. I'm when it comes to practice, I'm like locked in. Like, I'm, so if somebody was talking or, like, chopping up, I wouldn't even notice it.
I don't know. I feel like Elijah Moore strikes me as a guy that is always talking all the time. And then, like, obviously, you know, I'm not sure defensively. I feel like Q just, like, is one of those guys who's just always, like, it might not even be serious. It's just, like, talking the whole time. But, who's, you know, obviously week one, you get to go against Sam, who, you know, former teammate and stuff like that. Have you guys, like, the team is like, oh, yeah, we can't wait to go against, you know, we love Sam, but we can't wait to go against him and sack him? Or is it like, you're not even really thinking about too far into it that yet?
No, I haven't thought too much about it. I just know, like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's the first game. Everybody's going to be hype, you know. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to playing him like I am, like, anybody else. I know it's cool, like, going against him because he's my old teammate. But yeah, it's just like the first game, so we're just gonna attack it like we would any other team.
How you know, obviously, who are some of the guys growing up that you try to model your game after? Was there, like, a specific, like, edge rusher you were like, I want to be like this guy? Or is it like, I'm just gonna take bits and pieces of a lot of different guys?
I feel like it's definitely the bits and pieces. I watch a lot of people, but I always find ways to make it my own. Like, I know coming up through college or through high school and college, I was watching Hassan Reddick. I was watching Shaquem Griffin, who was Von Miller, of course, Khalil Mack, Yannick Ngakoue, like, all those dudes. So, all those guys are still in the league, you know. So, I was definitely modeling my game after them towards the end of my college career, and then especially now. But I found ways to make things my own. In my own way, so
yeah. No, that makes a ton of sense, and it's interesting, like, hearing everyone has their different guys they look to growing up, or, like, they end up, you know, getting in the league. And I'm like, everyone, I feel like everyone defensive line wise always says, like, the same a few of the same guys, and everyone has their different techniques. Everyone, I feel like, always goes with, you know, J.J. Watt, Aaron Donald, and Von Miller always pop up everywhere. But obviously, you're not playing inside as much where Aaron Donald's is as relevant.
Yeah, but yeah, I watch a ton of his tape too. So, yeah.
Are you starting to start training with knives and stuff like that, or now you're gonna invite that to Aaron Donald?
No, I actually went and trained with Aaron Donald, with that guy that he was doing that with, Pootie Carson in Pittsburgh.
That's so cool.
Yeah, we were actually doing those knife drills, just like working our peripheral vision and just like feeling somebody's hands before they actually hit you and stuff like that. And then also just like those different techniques. They work like Egyptian, like hand combat. So I was up there doing that for a couple months off season. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
So I guess I have to expect 20 sacks and be a first team All-Pro. where's you know, favorite? I don't know if you're a big pizza guy. Obviously, New York's known for like pizza and bagels and all that stuff. Where's the spot you go to if you're going to get a slice of pizza, if you're in the city or whatever? What's your go-to, you know, place to get food?
There was one spot I was going to last year. I went there a couple of times, but I forgot the name, but I honestly don't have a go-to.
I was setting you up perfectly. You could have nailed the crazy endorsement deal with whoever the deli or pizza spot was.
Yeah. If I find out the name, I'll let you know, but I haven't been there in a while, but it was really good. I can't think of it. Everybody around here goes to Nona's, though.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, no, it's interesting. Like, I don't know, the New Jersey, New York pizza and bagel beef and the whole nine yards. Last couple of quick things before we let you go. Obviously, what's the like best Robert Saleh moment that people, that fans like don't maybe get to see? Because obviously, you know, he's very outgoing. Like, has there been a moment where he's come over and like, you just, or said something, or there's been a line, or he did something funny that people kind of can relate to?
Probably just like the stories like at the end of team meetings. They're always like a cool message behind it, but they're always like really funny. Like he was talking to us about like these camels and like it was like an older mom camel talking to a son, like a baby camel, and they're like, why do we have these humps on our backs? And he was like, oh yeah, because we're desert animals. Like we have water to store for months. It's like, why do we have these weird feet? And they're like, so you can walk in the sand, because we're desert animals. You have to be able to like trek long distances in the sand and stuff like that. And the mom was like all proud and stuff because she's a camel. Like she loves being a camel and like she takes pride in like who she is. And the baby camel was like, well, if we're desert animals, then why are we in the zoo? And so like, I thought I was just hilarious. And then he just went on to talk about like the message behind it. So, like, he always has, like, these funny stories that always have messages. So, I think that's pretty cool.
Did you guys get to watch, like, some of the Flight 2021 stuff? Like, do you guys go and watch that stuff and the Jets put out some of that content? Or is it kind of, like, you know, it's more for the fans and it's not really watching it? Like, they put out that Flight 2021 YouTube documentary thing. It was, like, the four part of the offseason, stuff like that. Did you guys watch that at all or not really?
I didn't get a chance to watch that.
They were making fun of Michael Flores, his monitor, whatever that is, the biggest monitor screen in his office I've ever seen in my entire life. Stretched the entire length of the room. Last two things here. Obviously, you know, week two, home opener. Do you have a preference on who you're going to play, Cam or Mac Jones? Or are you just like, I just want whoever the quarterback is, I want to get a sack and the crowd go crazy?
Yeah, it does not matter. Whoever the quarterback is, I'm going for him. I honestly can't wait for the season to start. I've put a lot of work in this offseason. So, especially, like, home opener is going to be crazy. But, like, any game preseason, I'm excited. Because, like, just to see how everything plans out for the team and then myself personally, just because I know how much everybody's been working for it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm super excited. I mean, you guys should be excited. It's like you work all year to get, you know, 17 games now in front of hundreds of thousands of people. So, obviously the jerseys, this is the last one. I don't know how much, again, you guys pay attention to this, but the jerseys have been a big thing on, you know, social media right now of like, you know, the NFL is bringing back the throwback uniforms. I don't know how much Jets history you've gone down, but the Titans jerseys are very popular with the fans, and then the you know, just more the retro Jets stuff. Have you gotten to take a look at those the old Titans jerseys?
Yeah, I have seen like it's like gold and navy blue kind of.
Yeah, it looks nothing like the Jets now.
I've seen them. I think they look pretty good, like in the modern type of jersey and like helmet, I feel like that's gonna be, it's a little crazy, especially if like they put like a new age twist on it or something. Like, it'll look pretty cool. I hope they bring back those.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'd be great for the fan. The last couple of years they were worn, the Jets were pretty good. So I think people will be excited about that. I know an answer you're going to give me to wrap this up, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Is there a matchup on the schedule, either from an offensive line, an offense as a general perspective, a city that stands out to you? You're like, oh, I can't wait to go play in L.A. or I can't wait to, you know, go up against this guy. Is there any of that stand out? Or it's just like, I just want to eat every week.
Yeah, every week. Yeah, definitely. I want to eat every week. Yeah. Just every week. Same mentality. Yeah. If anything, I'll be like outside of just going to work myself every week, it'll be cool to see like some of the best like DNs go and play in games too, just like from other teams, being able to see them in person and see how they play in person. I feel like that's always cool to see.
Yeah, no, you guys got a lot of people. You get your boy Von Miller on the schedule. You get to go out to LA and stuff like that. So, I'm super excited. You know, we obviously really appreciate you hopping on, and this will be coming out Tuesday. So, you know, we'll get a day of full pads, and then fans will be there Tuesday when this drops. So hopefully you hit a couple spin moves, give some people something to cheer about. We appreciate it, and good luck this season, and we'll have to have you on look forward to seeing a bunch of different sacks and TFLs in the stat sheet.
Yes, sir, definitely. I appreciate it.